You will hear part of a discussion in which two consultants, Abby Dale and Ryan Richardson, are talking about two different small businesses that have achieved success. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part 3.
Now, you've chosen businesses that seem worlds apart with regard to product and production, and yet have startling similarities in terms of strategy. Could you tell us a little about these businesses created by young entrepreneurs?
Yes, I decided to go with a clothing company, or rather, a social clothing company, as the owner, Chris, prefers to call it. This particular online company functions more like a blog than a conventional web store, which allows it to utilize the input from the blogger communities and the news cycles directly. Then, the elements highlighted by the members of those communities are incorporated into its designs. So, social engagement is key to its success, with the emphasis on listening to people rather than dictating to them.
Yes, it's definitely a case of having your finger on the public's pulse. And I believe the company I've selected does exactly that, but with an entirely different product, DIY electronic hardware kits. Not so long ago, consumers would demand their electronic gadgets ready-made and ready to use. Now, however, devoting time to assembling the gadgets is perfectly acceptable. The kits come with detailed instructions for assembly, but customers are actively encouraged to modify the product so that it matches their particular taste. Then, customers have the opportunity to embrace the culture of sharing online to feed off each other's creativity.
That's another similarity with the company I've chosen. Its customers don't just want to buy clothes. They want to be seen wearing them too. After all, the target market is the younger generation whose social media profiles reflect the look-at-me mentality. The company has taken this into account and now invites customers to submit photos or videos of themselves wearing the company's products. Not surprisingly, there has been an overwhelming response from which the company has clearly benefited. Firstly, there is the publicity aspect, which allows the company to advertise without spending huge sums. Secondly, and more importantly, this initiative has given the company access to information only available on social media, and that is the speed of change in what the customer wants. Then, it's just a case of keeping pace with that change.
I'm glad you brought up the element of speed and online companies having to adapt accordingly. Right from the outset, the founder, Limor, who did her master's at HIT, realized she would have to come up with new ideas all the time. As a result, she made sure she embarked on at least one new product per week, mainly based on such technology as gyrometric sensors and solar panels. Nowadays, her products, developed with her troubleshooting team of 3 engineers, cover a much wider range of technologies that appeal to every generation. There are kits for primary school children, who can build robotic arms, through to grandmothers, who can sew clothes with working LED displays, with conductive threads and washable hardware. This is probably the biggest difference between the two companies.
As you inferred, it's not only recognizing the need for change, but it's also adapting to it. At the moment, Chris's social clothing company aims to come up with 3 creations a week so as not to fall behind. Incredibly, he plans to increase this rate to a mind-boggling 20 a week at least, with about half designed through crowdsourcing and collaborations with outside designers. With this in mind, he has formed manufacturing partnerships that ensure new inventory arrive in a matter of weeks, not months. As for managing the online catalogue, he aims to develop it in keeping with what works online. So again, there are going to be novel ways of presenting items. I'm not sure what novel ways he's referring to, but I'm certain they'll be as creative as his clothing.
And all this points to rapid development. Limor's company has sold over 500,000 kits in 7 years. Over the same period, she has moved into a large warehouse that has enough space for storage and to accommodate equipment like laser engravers and mills. Therefore, every part can be manufactured on site. If you look at the business now and think back to how it started, the notion of providing people with the opportunity to gain a sense of achievement from making something on their own, which they obviously do, you'll be amazed. But don't just stand there open-mouthed. Come up with your own idea and don't be afraid to go ahead with it.
I'd like to echo that sentiment.
Now you will hear part 3 again.
Now you've chosen businesses that seem worlds apart with regard to product and production, and yet have startling similarities in terms of strategy. Could you tell us a little about these businesses created by young entrepreneurs?
Yes, I decided to go with a clothing company, or rather, a social clothing company, as the owner, Chris, prefers to call it. This particular online company functions more like a blog than a conventional web store, which allows it to utilize the input from the blogger communities and the news cycles directly. Then, the elements highlighted by the members of those communities are incorporated into its designs. So, social engagement is key to its success, with the emphasis on listening to people rather than dictating to them.
Yes, it's definitely a case of having your finger on the public's pulse. And I believe the company I've selected does exactly that, but with an entirely different product, DIY electronic hardware kits. Not so long ago, consumers would demand their electronic gadgets ready-made and ready to use. Now, however, devoting time to assembling the gadgets is perfectly acceptable. The kits come with detailed instructions for assembly, but customers are actively encouraged to modify the product so that it matches their particular taste. Then, customers have the opportunity to embrace the culture of sharing online, to feed off each other's creativity.
That's another similarity with a company I've chosen. Its customers don't just want to buy clothes. They want to be seen wearing them too. After all, the target market is the younger generation whose social media profiles reflect the look-at-me mentality. The company has taken this into account and now invites customers to submit photos or videos of themselves wearing the company's products. Not surprisingly, there has been an overwhelming response from which the company has clearly benefited. Firstly, there is the publicity aspect, which allows the company to advertise without spending huge sums. Secondly, and more importantly, this initiative has given the company access to information only available on social media, and that is the speed of change in what the customer wants. Then, it's just a case of keeping pace with that change.
I'm glad you brought up the element of speed and online companies having to adapt accordingly. Right from the outset, the founder, Limor, who did her master's at HIT, realized she would have to come up with new ideas all the time. As a result, she made sure she embarked on at least one new product per week, mainly based on such technology as gyrometric sensors and solar panels. Nowadays, her products, developed with her troubleshooting team of 3 engineers, cover a much wider range of technologies that appeal to every generation. There are kits for primary school children, who can build robotic arms, through to grandmothers, who can sew clothes with working LED displays, with conductive threads and washable hardware. This is probably the biggest difference between the two companies.
As you inferred, it's not only recognizing the need for change, but it's also adapting to it. At the moment, Chris's social clothing company aims to come up with 3 creations a week so as not to fall behind. Incredibly, he plans to increase this rate to a mind-boggling 20 a week at least, with about half designed through crowdsourcing and collaborations with outside designers. With this in mind, he has formed manufacturing partnerships that ensure new inventory arrive in a matter of weeks, not months. As for managing the online catalogue, he aims to develop it in keeping with what works online. So again, there are going to be novel ways of presenting items. I'm not sure what novel ways he's referring to, but I'm certain they'll be as creative as his clothing.
And all this points to rapid development. Limor's company has sold over 500,000 kits in 7 years. Over the same period, she has moved into a large warehouse that has enough space for storage and to accommodate equipment like laser engravers and mills. Therefore, every part can be manufactured on site. If you look at the business now and think back to how it started, the notion of providing people with the opportunity to gain a sense of achievement from making something on their own, which they obviously do, you'll be amazed. But don't just stand there open-mouthed. Come up with your own idea and don't be afraid to go ahead with it.
I'd like to echo that sentiment.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.